language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
Rep! I'm a sure rep! That's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free sting.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
My mom coming home for not one, but two. This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Sean A. Mapes, and of course, on the Twitch stream. twitch.tv/ESPN975, and that's where you get to see, you know, my large, ugly face. You also get to see Sean and his, you know, luxuriously long hair, and you will notice there's a lot of Astros gear being flashed today. Sean's rocking the Astros hat. I'm actually double rocking. I have the hoodie and the World Series hat, and the man joining me to my left. Not only somebody that I'm very proud to call a friend, but he is also the voice of the Sugar Land Skeeters, the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros, the guy who has seen probably half the team come up already. And he is my good friend, Gerald Sanchez, also rocking the Astros stuff. What's up, Gerald? How you doing, man?
Thanks, Patrick. It's good to be on the show.
So you used to do high school football from these studios. How much different is it from then to now, what it looks like?
Oh, it's huge. There used to be a console in the middle. Now you have the curved shape. Also have the cameras. You didn't used to have that. And they had the monitors in here. So the control room, the control room's still the same, but it's a little bit different now.
Did you used to have the couch over there with the big giant bear that people probably did really bad things to?
Yes.
Those things never change. And last night, something that hasn't changed, and that is the Astros continue to get off the deck. Every time you feel like this team, all right, maybe they're finally out. Maybe this is where it finally breaks. They always get up off the mat, and they always come back, and they find a way to scratch, to claw, to punch back. And perfect example, last night, they're down 3-1 in the series. They are on the road, hostile environment. They give up a first inning grand slam where 90% of the sports world probably thinks the game is over at that point. And there was a graphic from Bet Online that showed the country and what states are rooting for what teams. 48 states were rooting for the Braves. Texas and Delaware were rooting for the Astros. I have no idea how the hell we got Delaware.
Texas and Delaware. That.
And everyone was probably sitting there thinking, oh, the bad guys, the evil Astros, they're going to get beat. They're going to get whooped up. This is great. This is wonderful. And it didn't quite work out that way. Instead, they very much Atlanted the game last night, whether you want to talk blowing a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year or, you know, the Falcons 28-3. Just Atlanta's team seem to have this earned reputation of being choking issue. Last night, you're up 4-0, chance to put the foot on the throat, and they couldn't do it. Now, as you're watching this game, and you see what goes on in the first inning, and my first reaction is, you've got to be freaking kidding me, first pitch. After that, it was, there's 8 innings to play. Sometimes it's very hard to keep that, all right, there's 8 innings to play, when, you know, you left the entire city of Houston on the bases the night before, and you couldn't get anybody on the bases the game before that, of, okay, the offense has been terrible. What makes us think? What makes you think I'm suddenly going to get four runs? This is who the Astros have been all year. After you come out of that first inning, what were your initial thoughts?
After the first inning, how managers manage a game now, especially with it being a bullpen. It's very heavy into bullpens now. Starting pitchers rarely will go 6-7 innings anymore. If you can get the 15 outs, okay, you've done your job.
Say the Astros, you're lucky you get 3 innings.
So, with that in mind, you think about, okay, well, you get the outs. You have so many outs to play with in a game, and that's how you bridge the gap. You go from 6th, 7th, 8th, and then you get to your closer in the 9th. Well, when they fell behind 4-0, I thought, okay, well, you still have 24 outs to play with, and they were able to get 4 runs. And you have to think of it in those terms when you're trying to make a comeback. And you don't always have to come back with a grand slam yourself. You chip away. And that's what the Astros did. There is no panic with this team for the simple fact of they've been through the wars before. They have won a championship before. This is their third time in the World Series in the last 5 years. The core group has been here. So it's not going to rattle them. And when they answered in the top of the second with just the couple of runs, they didn't have to come back and tie it right away. They answered. And that told me, okay, they're in this.
See, they get the 2 runs, and immediately it's like, all right, they've got it in their mind, this is a controllable game. Were you surprised Dusty let Fromber pitch the second? Because after you come back and you get the 2 runs and you answer, it is so important to not just yield that right back. Yeah, no. The ability to answer the other team immediately is an important, that's an important way of stopping the momentum and not allowing, everything to come off the tracks. They give up the big grand slam in the bottom of the first. They come right back in the top of the second. They get 2 runs from the bottom of the order. Not allowing any runs in the bottom of the second was going to be very important. They let Fromber bat to end the top of the second. Let him go back to the mound for the bottom of the second. Were you surprised? Because in game one, Fromber had the lousy start. And it's like, all right, you know what? He'll settle down, and then he'll get you through 5. And then he gives up in the second inning. He had like 2 hits that were like real light contact, and they didn't have a whole lot of whack on. Whereas in the first inning, he was getting just hammered everywhere. Second inning, gives up a couple of hits that were very light contact. He gets the big strikeout. He's pumped up. He's excited, and you're thinking, all right, now he's ready. Now he's got his mojo. Third inning comes out, hit homer, and it's, get him out as fast as you can. His mechanics are kind of all over the place in game one. And here, Dusty, letting him go out there for the second inning, do you look at that as more faith in Fromber, or do you look at that as, man, I just can't go to the bullpen in inning number 2. I need too many guys today.
I think it's the latter. You had to have him give you a couple of innings at least because you knew that you were going to go to the bullpen early because it's an elimination game and you can't afford to fall further behind, and which he was able to pitch them and they had to go to the bullpen early. The thing about Fromber, and John Smoltz has made a couple of really good points in this World Series. I know there's a lot of criticism towards the announcers and all this and that and the other, but John Smoltz made a couple of really good points in the ball game about how Fromber, he's a sinker ball pitcher. And when a sinker ball pitcher is throwing at a high velocity and he's really amped up, that sinker ball doesn't sink and it stays in the zone where guys can tee it up and square it up. And he was just too strong in that game one. And the same thing that was happening, it was mechanics. And his mechanics weren't right. You could see that. And the sinker ball was not sinking again, and he was just getting hit.
Yeah, and you can see this when you're watching the game with Fromber. He's not even landing in the same spot. Sometimes he's kind of going forward. Then he's falling off a little bit to third. Then he's falling off way to third base, and it's not there's no consistency to his rhythm. His release points are different, and it's not, you know, like a subtle thing. I mean, this is an obvious thing that something's just, whatever it is, he's just not right. His mechanics are all off, and I don't know that you can fix that in 2 days. I don't know that Dusty would think, and look, if they get to a game seven, and I really do believe they will get to a game seven, I don't know that you can put Frommer back on the mound because he's been such a mess.
Well, you know, I mean, everything, things can change day to day, change inning and pitch to pitch in the postseason. So if they need to get Frommer to get him a couple of outs, maybe he trusts him, but we'll see. I mean, because the pitch count wasn't that high from last night.
No, but the...
So
you know,
if you want to bring him back for a Game 7, you certainly can.
Where those pitches landed was very, very far. You know, after the Astros get two more in the top of the third, and now it's a tie game, and now that you're kind of seizing momentum back in this game, he threw a pitch on 3-2 to Freddie Freeman that landed somewhere in South Carolina.
Okay, so... The thing with pitchers giving up hits, most times they give up hits when they fall behind in counts. So a hitter can square up and he's waiting on something. Framber, if you'll remember, he fell behind in the count to Freeman, and Freeman was looking for something. If they can just throw those first pitch strikes, that changes everything, turns things upside down.
Now, I'm not saying that the Braves are doing anything nefarious, but Freddie Freeman swung at that pitch. Like, not only did he know what the pitch was, he knew where it was going to be and how fast. He teed off on that ball like he knew exactly what was coming. 460 feet. It's the longest home run of his career. And at that point, now it's 5-4 Atlanta, and I'm not going to lie, I did a lot of cursing. And as Sean can tell you, from being with me over the weekend, when I watch the games, I do a lot of cursing. I said a lot of bad words last night when he gave up that home run in the fifth inning. And then he got a couple outs before they took him out of the game. So, Frommer, I don't know. And look, I can't tell you exactly what's wrong with him, but we can see there's something wrong with him. He's not delivering the ball in the right way. But to me, this was the Braves had the Astros set up for the knockout. They put them on the mat again early. They had the chance to put their foot on the throat. They had their chance to take the Astros out in their home park, 43,000-plus screaming people, and another, what, they had said 130,000 the night before in Battery Park. The first time I saw, hey, Battery Park, I'm like, they're not in Brooklyn. What the hell are you talking about, Battery Park? But Battery Park, and here it is. They've got this just swaths of people. They're jammed in there like the biggest frat party you could imagine. And they're all going nuts and yelling and screaming. And they couldn't get the job done. And I think there's a psychological toll to that. And that's why I think the Astros will win Game 6. That's why I think the Astros will win Game 7. When you had everything in your hands, your home park, big lead, crowd going nuts, everything going your way, and you still managed to crash the car, it might take a little bit of time to get the car fixed.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of baseball over the years. And a similar situation happened for the Astros in 2005 in the championship series against the Cardinals. Place was going crazy. One strike away. Eckstein gets the hit, Edmonds walks, Pujols with an 0-1 count hits the moonshot onto the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden it's 5-4 Cardinals, and they steal the victory. And everybody was just ready to think, oh, everything that you just said is what was being said in October of 05 for Minute Maid Park. Everybody was saying, you know what, how the Astros, how can they come from, you know, how can they rebound after letting this one slip away? Similar situation, 3-1 series lead. It was 3-2, but then Oswalt comes back and throws a heck of a ball game. He ends up winning a bulldozer tractor from Drayton McClain and closes out Busch Stadium, and the Astros go on to win the pennant and play in the World Series. So
we're not going to talk about that World Series thing.
You know what? All right, that World Series.
We're not going to talk about that World Series.
Okay. But I have a good point about that World Series.
I'm not telling you not to talk. I'm just okay. We're right. Not going to talk about it. But we will talk. We're not going to talk about it right now.
But we will talk
about it. Let you tell the story on the other side. Because we got to take a break.
Okay.
But we'll let you tell the story on the other side. Before we hit the break, I got to tell you about our friends, the West Bar and Grill. The West is a Beaumont institution. Always a great place to catch all the games all the time. You want to – there's potentially two Astros games left. You go catch the Astros games, get $3 Crawford Bach pints. You want to go watch the NFL? Well, they've got Sunday Ticket. Not every place in Beaumont has Sunday Ticket, but the West does. And you can get every single game at the West. They got steaks and shrimp and wings and burgers and catfish and more. You'll find something you love on the menu. Of course, they've got all your favorite beers, wines, and spirits, so you can enjoy your meal and enjoy your drink while you're taking in the games or while you're playing all your favorite pub games, from pool to darts, ping pong to shuffleboard, or maybe you're like me, you like the arcade games. They've got it all at the West. Happy hour in effect all day till 6 o'clock. Ask for my buddy Mike Hamilton. Mike's the owner who's going to take good care of you. The West Barn Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for event at the West Barn Grill. Get your friends together and head to the West, a Beaumont institution.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you alongside my good friend Gerald Sanchez, the voice of the Sugar Land Skeeters, the Astros AAA affiliate, and a guy who saw plenty of these Astros as they came through the minor leagues. And, Joe, you had a story you wanted to relate, but we had to hit a break because we were way past. And Sean's giving me the stink eye, like, let's go to break. So had to hit the break there. But you had a story that you wanted to relay, and I certainly don't want to deprive the people of your stories. Gerald is like a savant when it comes to stories. If it's happened in the last 50 years, he knows what happened. He also knows the story. So you'll learn a lot when you listen to Gerald talk baseball, but. I want to let you tell the story.
Oh, okay, so the 05 World Series we were talking about, and that's the series the Astros were swept by the Cubs. And, you know, you think about it, how long ago was... Oh, sorry, the White Sox. How long ago was 2005? 16 years?
Believe it or not, it's only 16 years.
You know, it just seems like yesterday that 05 with the Killer Bees and that great series with the Braves and then the Cardinals and then the White Sox, people forget. And... yeah, okay, the Astros were swept by the White Sox. White Sox had some tremendous starting pitching, and so did the Astros, but they were, Clemens was hurt. But the difference in that World Series was a total of 6 runs.
This is not the 1960 World Series.
No, this was 2005. The Astros were swept, and the differential was 6 runs in that series. Isn't that amazing? That was... The games could have gone either way. And, you know, you give credit to the White Sox. They swept the Astros, but the Astros came so close. Pitching was good. The hitting, Adam Everett and Morgan Ensberg, tons of runners left on base. And they just couldn't get the key hits when they needed them.
If I was, with Duvall hitting the first inning grand slam yesterday, it's the first time there's been a first inning grand slam since Bobby Richardson in 1960. Now, in that 1960 series, the Yankees outscored the Pittsburgh Pirates 55-27 and lost the series in 7 games.
Yeah.
They won like 14-3, 10-0, and 12-0. And they lose game 7, 10-9 on the Bill Mazeroski walk-off home run. And Bill Mazeroski, who, basically was a terrible hitter. He was a very light hitting shortstop, all glove, no stick. For him to be the guy who hits the home run, it's like he's in the Hall of Fame because of one moment.
It was a very big moment of one of two players in Major League Baseball history to end a World Series on a walk-off home run. The other being, remember?
Why do you ask me questions like this when you know I don't remember?
Oh, come on. It was easy. It was during our lifetime.
I'm old, Gerald.
The 93 World Series, Joe Carter.
Joe Carter off Mitch Williams.
The Blue Jays and the Phillies in Game 6 that ended the World Series. So there's a lot of little nuggets in this World Series that is interesting, and I'll point out a few through the show. But, yeah, the Bill Mazeroski home run in 1960, and then the 93 home run with Carter against the Wild Thing, Mitch Williams, and the Blue Jays go on to win back-to-back World Series in the Sky Dome.
Man, Mitch Williams getting death threats after the game for like weeks.
After the 1960 World Series, shortly after that World Series, the game ended, Casey Stengel was fired.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah. You know how the Yankees work.
Yeah, but think about it, how successful of a manager Casey Stengel was. And he was fired, but he was hired just a couple of years later to manage your New York Mets.
To manage the worst team in modern baseball history.
120 losses in 1962. The 2003 Tigers lost 119.
They came close.
And then from 03 to 06, the Tigers end up going to the World Series and then losing to the Cardinals. That's a pretty remarkable turnaround, losing 119 games in 2003 and then going to the World Series in 2006. Maglio Ordóñez hits the walk-off home run against Hudson Street of the Oakland A's in the championship series at Comerica Park.
Think about what it took for there to be a worse record than the Mets, 40-120. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders. It was their last year of existence, and the owners of the Spiders also had just taken over the team, a team in St. Louis. So they decided they would take all their good players and move them to St. Louis and have one really good team, and the Spiders would be a sideshow. By the time the season was coming to the end, they were missing payroll. Nobody wanted to work there. The people who worked for the team were just leaving. It was disaster. And that was the final year of the Cleveland Spiders. It was in 1899, the only team to ever have a worse record than the lovable loser, 62 Mets.
And in 1901, the American League franchise of the Cleveland Indians became. And then in 2021, the Cleveland Indians died. And they are now the, under the lawsuit, Cleveland Guardians, which the
There's a roller derby team,
right.
and another nondescript, like a rugby team or something.
And there's a lawsuit that they say they can't use the Cleveland Guardians.
Like, they couldn't just do a quick Google search and see, hey, does anybody else have this name? Maybe we can take a look. How long does it take to do a Google search? What is it? It tells you it's like 0.0001 seconds.
Well, don't they have to register at the courthouse for the DBA?
Courthouse isn't going to check. Like, that's on you. But just the idea of before you went and spent the money and filed the paperwork.
And create the logo.
Could somebody go online and do a Google search? Just take a peek. What do we got here? Somebody, anybody, Bueller. That would have been a good idea. So Astros, look, fifth inning is the linchpin. That's the turning point in this game. We'll talk about that on the other side. First, got to tell you about my good friend Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Science and Snoring. You know, for over 20 years, I dealt with horrible snoring. My kids called me the chainsaw. They could hear me outside from the second story bedroom with the windows and doors closed. They could still hear me snoring. I had terrible sleep apnea as a result. I'd stop breathing in the middle of the night and then suddenly just like kickstart breathing again. I'm just scare the hell out of my wife. And so she never got to sleep either, because between the snoring and the sleep apnea, guess who kept her up? Well, 2 years ago, I went to go see Dr. Ben, and after doing a few tests on me, he's got a state-of-the-art facility up in North Houston. I had a balloon sinuplasty done, a septoplasty done, and you're not going to believe this. I don't have sleep apnea anymore. My airways are open. I breathe clearly. I don't snore anymore. Doc had me download the Snorlab app. It listens to you while you sleep so that you can hear, am I snoring, am I not snoring? I'm not snoring. I sleep great. I sleep like I'm in high school. You know who else is happy that they're sleeping? My wife is happy because she's sleeping. So if you have snoring issues or you have sleep apnea and you want to get off that CPAP machine, or maybe you couldn't use the CPAP machine and you're just going untreated, you need to call Dr. Ben Salento. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. If you're looking for a new vehicle, only one place to go, Planet Ford Highway 59 in Humble. Astros, champions of the American League, hopefully in two more games, champions of baseball, Planet Ford and Humble champions when it comes to customer service and great savings. Right now, get 0% for 72 months on all new F-150s, as well as huge cash back incentives. Get your Ford your way. Planet Ford Humble, they'll walk you through the whole process. You'll save more than ever, and you'll get your new Ford exactly how you want it. Planet Ford will pay you top dollar for your trade-in. Let them help get you out of that unwanted loan or lease. Ask for the GM, John Certner, or ask for my buddy Tom Huberty. I've gotten three cars from Tommy. Tommy's the best. These are the good guys of the car business. Planet Ford, Highway 59 in Humble. Tell them Pete Great sent you by. Check them out online, planetford59.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, Patrick Creighton and Gerald Sanchez with a guest appearance with us tonight. Gerald Sanchez, the play-by-play voice of the Sugarland Skeeters. Now, Gerald, you've seen a handful of the... You've seen a handful of the Astros come through, specifically Jake Meyers, Jose Siri. You've seen a lot of these young guys go through. You know, you've been doing games with the Skeeters now for a few years, and you've been here in Houston for a really long time, and you're always at the games, and you're a baseball lifer. You had a great story that you had penned. I don't remember the name of the site that it was on, but I did tweet it out. That you told the story about how you and your father bonded over baseball. Like, that's everything sports between a father and son is supposed to be.
Well, thank you.
I thought that was a great story.
Thank you.
Now, you've gotten to see a lot of these young guys. And, like, specifically, I'll tell you, like, when on the trade deadline, when the Astros made the deal, it was the last deal that was announced, was Miles Straw for Phil Maton. And Joel and I were on air at that time, and it was, okay, well, what about who's going to play center field? You know, who's the new center field? Is there another deal coming? Who's going to be center fielder? And they didn't make another deal, and they called up Jake Meyers. And I remember I had said to him, I said, if they're calling up Jake Meyers, well, Jake Meyers should start. Jake Meyers flat out go get it, and he's hitting the hell out of the ball, so make him the center fielder. And due to injuries, eventually he would get to be the center fielder, and he played great when he was playing every day. From you getting to see him every day for several months, what were your impressions of Jake Meyers? Is Jake Meyers a guy who can be your everyday center fielder?
Absolutely. He can go out and get it. He is a plus defender. He's also come along very well with the bat. He's got a good arm. I think that he can be a starting center fielder for a lot of ball clubs. And I was wondering, why isn't he called up? But then I also knew, well, the Astros have a logjam in the outfield with Brantley and with Tucker. And then McCormick was playing well, too, and Straw. But then when they made the trade, then that's when they brought him up. And so I thought, okay, now he has a chance to show off what he can do, and he certainly did.
And, you know, Jose Siri is a guy who early in the season at AAA, you couldn't get him out. And if he came up with guys on base, it was like an automatic run. He was driving in everybody. He was, you know, player of the week very early on in the season. He was player of the month in August. And Jose Siri had a terrific minor league season. Here's a guy who signed when he was young with the Reds organization, spent 6 years in that organization, ultimately got released without really getting a contract, without really getting an opportunity to play at the major league level, signs with the Astros as a minor league free agent, and just tears the cover off the ball, hitting homers, hitting doubles, stealing bases, playing great defense. He's got an arm. He's got a lot of swag to him. Now, he strikes out a lot, but every other facet of his game is a plus asset. Do you think Jose Siri is a guy who could be a regular outfielder?
I do. And he can easily be a fourth outfielder and maybe even get a shot at starting. The thing about Siri is he has trouble laying off the breaking pitches. He does strike out a lot. And he's got to be able to correct that in his swing if he wants to have an everyday job. But he's definitely, the tools are there. You can see there's a lot of flashes of greatness from Jose Siri. The athletic ability is off the charts. His speed, you saw it in the World Series. He was able to turn, you put pressure on the defense. That's another point that John Smoltz had. Yeah, you want to see everybody hit the ball out of the ballpark, but your opportunities really go up when you put pressure on the defense and put the ball in play. Siri, if he can learn how to put the ball in play and cut down the strikeouts, I think very well he could be a very a good everyday major league outfielder.
Things I love about Siri, like you know how with baseball players, you can categorize guys into, like, this guy's a captain, this guy's a leader, this guy is like he's like the team prankster, this guy is a little outspoken. Jose Siri is a spark plug player.
He is.
He's got a ton of energy. He's always jumping around. He is a spark plug type of player. And look, good teams have that kind of player in their lineup. Even if he's not in there every day, he's in there, in some kind of platoon or whatnot. You know, with the Mets, Wally Backman was a spark plug type player. Jose Siri, a spark plug type player. And, the way Dusty's used him, Siri's played more against the lefties and Chaz has played more against righties. But to me, like, if they can correct him, don't swing at breaking ball in dirt. Like, just that one thing. Do not swing at breaking ball in dirt. And his on base goes up 70 points.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that is he able to harness that energy, discipline it at the plate, and not going after pitches outside the strike zone? And you can see that I have not seen a scouting report on Jose Siri, but if you open it up, I'm almost positive is you feed off of his energy and get him to chase slider after slider down and away. And you get him to chase after pitches outside the strike zone, and you feed on his anxiousness.
Yeah, well, and you think about the Astros are the best team in baseball. They strike out the least, which means they're really good at pitch recognition. Can somebody teach him how to recognize that pitch? All right, if you see the ball and the ball is spinning in this manner, and when you catch the spin, it's already waist high, it's going to be in the dirt, don't swing.
Well, I think that the Astros organization and the coaching staffs and the analytics department, if he is really willing to put in the time, I think that he can. And I probably might go play winter ball this year.
If I'm Jose Siri, I'm working my ass off because this is, and I know that this is a remote possibility, but it's a possibility to me. With Carlos Correa's contract coming up, I feel like if the Astros win the World Series, it changes the conversation for them drastically when it comes to Carlos Correa. You're getting Verlander's money off the books. You're getting Greinke's money off the books. That's just right there. You've got more than enough for Correa. Those two guys combined is it's like nearly $60 million. So if you're going to pay Carlos Correa and you don't want to have a $230 million payroll, is Michael Brantley the move that you make? Do you trade Brantley, who's got 1 year and $16 million left on his deal, and replace him with Jose Siri or Chaz McCormick or some combination thereof? and have a very inexpensive outfield because you're not paying any of those guys for several years. And now you've created more cushion. Brantley's still a terrific contact hitter, but you can look at him and see the power is dissipating. He only had 8 home runs this year. The power is dissipating.
He was also hurt.
And that's true, but that's another factor with his age is here's a guy who throughout his career has had a lot of injuries. As you get older, you don't usually get healthier. And for a guy who doesn't run particularly well and now no longer has home run power, $16 million is a lot of money for that guy. But somebody else will pay it.
I think we think that Brantley would, you could enter that conversation realistically if Brantley had a longer term on his contract. But he only's got 1 year left after this year. So, and I see what you say about Correa. And I'd like to hear your point about that. Why does it change the conversation if they win the World Series as opposed if they were not to win the World Series? What would change?
Believe it or not, I think that a decent amount changes. We'll get to it on the other side. First, got to tell you about our friends at mybookie.ag. Now, listen up. Whether you're a new customer, a former customer, or a current customer, it all applies. Would you like free money? The answers are yes, yes, and hell yes. Right now, MyBookie is going to double your next deposit up to $1,000. Doesn't matter if you're a new customer, a current customer, or a former customer. They're going to double your next deposit up to $1,000. All you need to do is use promo code BET975. That's it. BET975, double your deposit to start placing bets and winning at the best place to bet on sports, MyBookie. Not only do they have all the lines on all the games, they got all the prop bets. You got live in-game betting. You got lots of great contests. You know what? I got free money from MyBookie because they had a special deal where they had a basketball game on the 29th where if any team scored, you won. Any team scored one single point. You won, and it paid plus 100, so dollar for dollar. It was free money. You can't go wrong with free money. You can bet on MyBookie on your phone, on your laptop, on your tablet. It's easy. That means it's easy to win. Winning is fun. You know what else is fun? Free money up to $1,000. Whether you're new, current, or former customer of MyBookie, just use promo code BET975. And you get your next deposit doubled up to $1,000. That money is put in your account right away so that you can start winning more when you bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, Patrick Creighton with you here on ESPN 97.5 Late Hits. And my good friend Gerald Sanchez, the voice of the Sugar Land Skeeters, with us in studio tonight as we talk some Astros baseball. And, you know, Gerald, when it comes to Carlos Correa, this is one of those things. If the Astros wind up winning the World Series, I feel like the conversation around Correa changes, especially when you consider, you know, Dusty had to make lineup changes for Game 5. And in that, well, Carlos Correa's got 3 hits, and he's got 2 RBI, and he's making great defensive play after great defensive play. And you look at the rest of the Astros organization. Now, can Aledmys Diaz play short? He can. Is he going to play it as well as Carlos Correa? No, not a chance. Alex Degote was a guy that people talked about earlier in the year, but he had his struggles this year at AAA, and he's going to have to, you know, firm up his approach to the plate. Maybe a little winter ball might help him out this year. They did have another guy who they brought up who tore the cover off the ball in a very small sample size.
Jeremy Pena.
Yes, Jeremy Pena hit the hell out of the ball. But I don't know that 60 at-bats or whatnot at AAA justifies, okay, you're our new shortstop. If you win. If you win, because look, there's always a giant cash windfall when you win. Going to the World Series, you are printing money. Winning the World Series, you're printing money for multiple nations. And, you know, when you consider that the CBA is going to expire, basically as the calendar turns to December. And the MLBPA has been very unequivocal. We will not be signing a new agreement without a very different economic policy. They are not going to have a similar tax structure where it only limits the top. It never goes up. You know, it goes up by $2 million each year. It doesn't really go up. And there is nothing to push bottom feeders to actually spend money. They're not going to go with that economic model. And the idea of what the tax may or may not be, will there be a tax, how that's all going to work, all of that is still very much up for discussion. And the Astros, the idea that, first of all, the idea the Astros can't afford Carlos Correa is just straight up hogwash. The Astros have plenty of money they can afford. They certainly generate the money to be able to afford. It becomes a cost tolerance. Do the Astros as an organization, and this ultimately falls on Jim Crane's desk, and Jim Crane, the guy who, when the Astros were spending $30 million a year, said, look, when it's time to spend the money, I will spend the money and we will build a winner. Jim Crane was true to his word.
He has been.
Jim Crane has been more true to his word than any other owner in this city.
I'll say Leslie Alexander was a really good owner.
But he's no longer here. He doesn't count.
Right. But as far as history of owners in sports of Houston, Leslie Alexander has delivered two championships, and he spent the money when the opportunity arose.
Which is more than necessarily we could say about the current owner, but we'll table that discussion to another day. Jim Crane has spent the money. The Astros have had essentially a $200 million payroll now for the last couple of years. And, you know, he has been talked openly about not wanting to be a taxpayer. He doesn't want to essentially shell out money to opponents, especially when some of that money goes directly to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are one of your biggest competitors. He doesn't want to be that guy. Although at the deadline, I think if they were able to get Max Scherzer, they would have paid the tax. If I think that was their guy. When they talked about, well, you know, we're not necessarily beholden to the tax line. If Max Scherzer agreed to come to Houston, I think they would have paid the tax. I don't know that there was anybody else available on the market at the time that was worth it for them to do that. But if it was Scherzer, they were going to pay the tax. Now, if they win a World Series, especially with Correa being a big part of it, and now all the money comes in, they're not going to bring back Zach Greinke. It does not appear they're going to bring back Justin Verlander. You heard Crane say, well, we'll give him a qualifying offer. And I think when he said that, Justin Verlander pretty much said, and I'll say no when you guys can enjoy your draft pick. I'm going to go get paid. And look, if you're Justin Verlander, you came here, you won a title. Thank you very much. If you decide you want to go somewhere else and get paid, but okay, your business. I'm not going to harbor ill will to you. That's the business of baseball. But they're not going to bring back Verlander. They're not going to bring back Greinke. They didn't bring back Gerrit Cole. They didn't bring back George Springer. At what point do you stop letting all your players leave? If you are a team that's now been to 5 straight ALCS and been to 3 World Series and now potentially winning 2 of those in a 5-year span, and you look at the players that you have let walk out the door with essentially no confidence, you just hear, bah, those guys are leaving, and we're just going to replace them from within or however that's going to work. There isn't another player on the market who can be for you what Carlos Correa is. Offensively, defensively, as a leader on the team.
And the clubhouse.
That the dynamic that Carlos added in the wake of the baseball's punishment to the Astros, he was the guy who stepped forward and assumed the mantle of the guy who was going to lead the team. And with that, you can't put a price on that. You also can't just generate that from somebody else. And you look at the other shortstops that are going to be on the market. There's going to be some really good shortstops on the market. To me, the only one who's a real comp to Correa is Corey Seager. And Corey Seager's been dealing with injury issues. Correa has been healthy the last 2 years. The idea of, oh, well, Carlos Correa is always hurt, that's not necessarily true. In fact, you could probably make the argument Alex Bregman is always hurt because he's been hurt for the last 2 years, and Correa has not been. Correa, if Correa does not win the Gold Glove this year, okay, crimes have been committed.
Yeah.
Crime has been committed. There should be an investigation if Carlos Correa does not win the Gold Glove this year. He led every player, every position player in baseball. He was number one in WAR. Every position player, all positions. He was number one in defensive WAR. Every player, every position. For his position, he is an elite bat. 850 OPS, mid-20 homers. He is an elite defensive player, like on a next level. He has an arm that might be unrivaled in baseball. And he is your team captain. Not only is he your team captain in the locker room, he's your team captain on the field. He's the guy who goes and settles your pitcher down. When Jose Urquidy starts going sideways, it's Carlos Correa who walks in there and gets him straightened out. Like, these are the things that you cannot teach a player coming in. You can't teach him that relationship and that respect and that level of trust in his teammates in one preseason. That's something that Correa has earned and built. Nobody else can just walk in and assume that.
All right.
And when you give all of that up, there's not somebody there that can replace it. It is a huge hole at a premium position where, you know, we talk about defense up the middle, center field, shortstop, second base, catcher. Well, in center field, why was Miles Straw playing? Because Miles Straw could play great defense. In fact, he's been nominated for a Gold Glove. Well, why was Jake Myers playing? Because Jake Myers was considered the best defensive center fielder in all of AAA. Won that award at the end of the season, despite the fact he didn't finish the season in AAA. Why does Martin Maldonado play? Not because he can hit, but because defensively, he's one of the best catchers in the game. He's got a great arm. He works with pitchers well. He calls a great game. And he's just a great defensive catcher, multiple-time Gold Glove winner. You know, why does Jose Altuve continue to work on his defense, You know, after he went through, you know, kind of having the yips in the playoffs, what does he do? He rededicates himself back to being a great defensive player. Correa is the standard for which all shortstops are judged right now on defense. So we want to get rid of the bat, get rid of the leadership, and we're going to replace him with a guy who is maybe 70% of the defensive play. None of these things make sense. And if you win a World Series, there really is no way to justify the, well, he wants too much money, or we just don't feel comfortable paying that much money. You've got three mints in the belly of that building printing out money with his face on it. There's no excuses. To let him go after they win a World Series would be embarrassing. Fourth, they're not the mid-size, mid-team, 80s Astros anymore. Now the Astros are a big boy. And if for all the guys they've left, they never even engaged with Gerrit Cole. And I understand Gerrit Cole got, you know, five Brinks trucks backed up to his house. And pitchers more likely to suffer injuries than position players. But you didn't even try.
So you're in favor of pay him.
Put the Brinks truck in his damn driveway and just say, go ahead, just take whatever you need. However many bags it takes, just pay the man. He's not 31 getting paid. He just turned 27 getting paid, and that makes a difference. When you look at the contract, the long-term contracts that have succeeded in baseball versus the long-term contracts that have failed in baseball. The
Before one, 30, after 30.
And that is the line of demarcation.
It's very true. Unless you're Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan could probably get out there. It was Nolan Ryan, like was he 81 now to get out there and probably throw 89 miles an hour? So.
74.
He's 74? Yeah. Oh, well, then he could probably hit 93, no problem. No big deal. He's only 74? He's only 74? And Nolan Ryan was pitching in the big leagues before I was born. And Nolan Ryan was pitching in the big leagues after I graduated high school.
I got a couple of cool Nolan Ryan stories we can get to next hour.
Oh, well, we'll have
but,
to get
but there is a point that I do want to make in the next hour that Smoltzy made on the telecast that really was the turning point to me in the ballgame.
I think you and I are probably on the same page on that one. We'll get to all of that stuff next. First, let me tell you before we hit the break about Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX Physical Therapy. Dr. JJ and her staff, they offer great one-on-one PT care. They'll listen to you. They understand your needs, and they develop a quality, customized physical therapy service tailored to your needs. How do I know this? Because I go see Dr. JJ every week. And I've been putting off neck surgery for 8.5 years. For the last 4 years, I haven't been able to turn my neck practically at all because of the amount of damage in my neck. I have degenerative herniated discs that and a ton of calcification. I could barely turn my neck. Working with Dr. JJ, I have been able to recover range of motion in my neck that I haven't had for years. I have been able to alleviate pain that I have not been able to alleviate for years. And if you're watching on the Twitch stream, I can turn my head nearly 90 degrees, which I haven't been able to do since I've been at ESPN. They focus on movement, balance, and strength to get you back to living your best life. Go see Dr. JJ. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Give her a call. 346-386-6683, 346-386-6683, or go to getphysicalrx.com.
ESPN 97.5.